सुखमात्यन्तिकं यत्तत् बुद्धिग्राह्यमतीन्द्रियं वेत्ति यत्र न चैवायं स्थितश्चलति तत्त्वतः। भगवद्गीता 6.21 कृष्णा इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द स्टेज ऑफ योगिक परफेक्शन हियर एंड ही स्टेट्स दैट सुखम आत्यंतिकम यत्तद् वन एक्सप्लेन द सुख दैट इज आत्यंतिक इट इज द अल्टीमेट हैप्पीनेस बुद्धिग्राह्यमतीन्द्रियम एंड बुद्धिग्राह्यम इट इज perceived with buddhi, with intelligence. Atindriyam, it is beyond the senses. Vetti yatrana chaiva. Vetti yatra, once having known this, cha evayam, ayam, ta chaivayam. So what happens by that? Once one knows this, one doesn't depart from the stage at all. Sthitas chalati tattvataha. From this situation, chalati. Chalati means slip, move away. Arjuna will later talk about how the mind is chanchala. But once one has realized the soul to be, once one has realized one's spiritual identity and becomes situated, at the stage of yogic perfection, then there is sthitaschalati tattvataha. There is no more the chalati, there is no more the movement of consciousness. What is being stated over here? That sukham atyantikam yattad. Sukham atyantikam. Ultimate happiness. So, Krishna is talking about now in the Kaushitaki Upanishad as well as in other places in the scripture, there is a hierarchy of happiness that is given. And the Upanishad, and then there is the earthly happiness. So, then there is the heavenly Swargiya Sukh. Then there is the happiness at Brahmaloka, and beyond that, or beyond it all, is Brahman. The Upanishads generally don't talk about bhakti directly, although there are definitely references to bhakti at a few places, and there are also references to absolute truth being a person at a few places. But overall, the Upanishads focus on jnana. And in the process of jnana, which stresses on negation of the material, there is not much positive realization. There is not much realization of the positive features of the absolute truth. So therefore, the focus always stays on the So the Upanishads don't focus so much on the happiness of devotion, Bhakti Ananda. This hierarchy is continued in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where it is described that the Bhakti Ananda is far greater than the Brahmananda also. But the Upanishads say that this Brahmananda is very high. The realization of Brahman that happens, the realization of the soul as being spiritual, even that realization brings great happiness. Sukhamatyantikam yattad buddhi grahayamati indriyam. Ati indriyam. Normally, in this world, most pleasure centers on sense gratification. And even if there are other forms of pleasure, often they all boil down to sense gratification. There may be other forms of pleasure, no doubt, but often they are ultimately means to pursue sense gratification. So, very few are the people who actually go beyond the pull of sense gratification completely while in material consciousness. So, ati indriyam. So, the speciality of this happiness is that this happiness is atindriyam, beyond the senses. So normally people think of happiness in terms of the senses, but here Krishna is talking about happiness beyond the senses. Buddhigrahyam atindriyam. Buddhigrahyam. Now what does this mean? That it is perceived with intelligence. So buddhigrahyam means that actually the realization of the Atma is something which happens. Now we have through the subtle bodies, with the central feature of the intelligence being involved over there. Buddhi grahyam atindriyam. Now we cannot perceive pleasure, especially when you talk about refined pleasures, but they cannot be perceived without buddhi. It's like if, say, there is a somebody succeeds in solving a complex mathematical problem, a mathematician succeeds in solving that problem, then the pleasure that the mathematician feels, the common people will not be able to understand also what is the pleasure, what is the problem, what is the solution, what is there to get so excited about. So when Archimedes is said to have shouted Eureka in his bathing tub and just jumped out of the tub and ran to the king's palace to describe how he had found a solution centered on the principles of gravity by which he could detect the purity of gold. You know, people were just struck, how is this person, what has gone wrong with this person, why is he running through the streets without any clothes like this and going to the king's palace on top of it, king's court. So people just couldn't grasp it. But he was experiencing happiness he was experiencing the thrill of discovery at the intellectual level. Buddhi grahyam. Now, these are simply, actually there is nothing spiritual about any of these pleasures. Of course, the inspiration may come from Krishna and then from the super soul in the heart. And in that sense, there is a spiritual component to it. But the point is that there is no connection, direct perception or connection with the absolute truth in these. So, still, when one experiences, so the point is buddhi grahyam. There are pleasures which are experienced, which are not understood at all at the level of the senses, but they are experienced with the intelligence. So similarly, the highest spiritual happiness, or the happiness at the Brahman level, is experienced through the intelligence. Buddhi grahyam atindriyam. So the point which is being emphasized here is that it is atindriyam. That it is not sensory pleasure, it is transsensory pleasure. So now of course, in bhakti is transsensory, but it is, we could call it, rather than calling it transsensory, it is sensory transcendence. The transsensory would mean beyond the senses, but sensory transcendence means it involves senses in the transcendental realm, and it also involves pursuit of the transcendental realm through the senses. The soul, when attaining perfection through bhakti, gets a swarupa where the soul has senses to perceive the absolute truth and to have loving reciprocation with Krishna and the devotees in the spiritual world. So the perfection in bhakti is sensory spirituality, and the process in bhakti is also sensory spirituality. Not that sensory spirituality in the sense that we engage with sensory gratification of the senses, but we do use the senses in devotional service. We use the tongue to glorify Krishna, to taste prasad, the eyes to behold the deities, and in this way, it's definitely sensory spirituality. So Krishna is not talking about bhakti right now, he's talking about the process of yoga, where the senses are seen primarily as pathways to illusion, entanglement, and misery. So one doesn't seek pleasure to the senses, but one goes beyond the senses and experience pleasure through intellectual perception of life's spiritual dimension, of one's own spiritual nature. And then, vetti yatra. Once having known this state, yatra na chaivayam. From this stage, sitaschalti tachalati tattvataha. One never departs from the stage. It's like when a pauper becomes a millionaire, the pauper will never give up the wealth. So, we could say that the pauper might sometimes commit a mistake. Pauper who has become a millionaire may somehow become intoxicated or whatever and squander away the wealth. That may be possible. But the millionaire, but the soul who has become a spiritual millionaire by realizing one's spiritual identity never gives up one's wealth, never gives up the inner wealth, never leaves the spiritual situation. Na chalati sitas chalati tattvataha. So this is the Krishna is continuing the description of yogic perception, wherein he states how the soul becomes rooted in spiritual reality. Thank you.